The following is a quarantine recording presented to you in Around Sound.
It was recorded with whatever was lying around.
Lady don't take no shit, insist on respect the sister, walk around like a womanish. She won't speak unless it's something worth saying, don't play. The girl take herself so serious, like people stare curious, like she got a natural way, her hips sway furious, like yeah, luxurious, like carries herself like the cutest, most prettiest thing you've seen this side of the bay.
Hey, this is Lady Don't Take No, your weekly roundup of all of the real and none of the fake. I'm your host, Alicia Garza. This show is pro-black, pro-queer, proudly feminist, and pro-do what you like. Every week, you're going to get the best of what goes on in my head, what we're loving on and what we're hating on, what we might be and what we just ain't going to do. Politics, pop culture, why Pose is the best show ever. We cover it all. We are recording from Oakland, California, the center of the known universe, where we are dealing with Rona and rebellion. It's a challenging time, a changing time, a time of transformation. It's all the things all the time nowadays, but we're going to help you understand the dynamics of this time every single week. So be sure to tune in, tell a friend, and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We do it for the culture, so the pod is free 99, because we know that with a country in chaos, the least we could do is keep you from putting your money anywhere else than where it's needed.
She don't like violence, but she can turn and face, so don't let your guard down. Her thighs are sore, but her eyes are hard. You can't just try, tell her, come on now.
Our guest this week is a leading figure in the movement for transgender and racial equality. Her acting breakthrough was on the FX hit show Pose, which made TV history with the largest transgender cast ever for a scripted series. You can currently catch her on the FX hit American Horror Story 1984. This year, she became the face of Nicolai Ghesquiere's recent campaign for Louis Vuitton. She is the president of Miss Ross, Inc., and founder of Trans Tech Social Enterprises, a program that helps people lift themselves out of poverty through technical training and bringing economic empowerment to marginalized communities. Of course, I am about to introduce the one, the only, the legendary Angelica Ross.
Yes, hello, Alicia. How are you?
I'm doing well, love. I'm so happy to have you on the show today.
Glad to be here.
We ask every single guest, because we are in Rona and Rebellion, what has your quarantine life been like? And have you developed any unique habits live and direct from Miss Rona?
All of the habits I've developed during the Rona have been positive habits. I'll say that.
Okay.
I've used this time to really sort of reflect and do better. So that comes down to my diet, that comes down to my physical exercise, that comes down to my mental space, my spiritual practice. I've just been using it each and every day, even though it kind of feels and seems like Groundhog Day. Like, when is this just the same stuff over and over again? It's still Rona? We still in Rona? You know, but like really recognizing that as a start over, as each day being an opportunity for me to do something better.
I love that. Are you indulging in any guilty pleasures during the Rona? Yes.
I mean, I've been playing video games.
Okay, what you playing?
So I've been playing Mortal Kombat, you know, and I've been playing a little bit of Mario Kart and stuff like that. Just to kind of, I have a brain that doesn't stop. And if I don't force it to do something else sometimes, it will put another job in front of my brain for me.
I get it. I get it. I am also a secret video game lover.
Yeah, what games are you playing?
You know, I play those weird games on your phone. So the one I'm into right now is called Gardenscapes, which is a little
bit like
Sims, but then it's also like one of those matching games, and I'm obsessed. I think I'm on level like 532 or something.
Yeah. You know, there's another thing that's like Sims is like the ImView, I-M-V-U.
Ooh.
Like, so I have a whole character on there that is exactly me. I actually have a relationship, a partnership with ImView, and so I have this character on there.
Oh, that's
that
dope.
Whatever my hair choices are, they create whatever my like wardrobe style are. They kind of help me be styled on this in this virtual world. And what's great about it is because those type of virtual games, what they call like avatar social networks,
a lot of times you're
dealing with people who don't have the social skills and sometimes social capital or social networks. And so as they use this sort of virtual world, especially for trans people, it's kind of a way to start rehearsing being social in their new identity.
I love this. I just have to say, I'm getting like the greatest opportunity right now. I get to like look into your eyes and see your sweet face, and it's just giving me life. I just
thank you.
Yes, I needed this on a Tuesday.
You know I love you. You're brilliant, and so anything for you.
So I've been reading all about you because, of course, I'm a huge fan, but I want to talk about how you became a Buddhist. Like, can we have that conversation? Because when I was 8 years old, I had a neighbor. His name was Joe, and he made neon signs, and he was the first person. This was before, you know, the Tina Turner movie came out and all that. He was the first person to teach me how to chant. And so when I read that you are a Buddhist and that we might be born in the same year. So I need to ask you about your sign now.
Yes. Well, no, I've been allowing myself to be nice and transparent and authentic with the fact that this year is a golden year for me.
Oh my gosh.
I'm turning 40. So it's one of those special years. I was born in 1980. I'm turning 40 and I'm just embracing it because I look wonderful.
You look amazing.
My skin is just feeling
glowing.
And, you know, I do feel like I'm really just beginning in this sort of level of my life. So I feel young at this stage of my life. So I don't have any hesitancy when I claim my 40.
Okay, well, that's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So tell me about how you got into Buddhism. And please tell me your sign because I got to know.
Yeah, so I'm a Sagittarius.
Yes, oh my gosh, I knew it. Sorry.
So Sagittarius, Leo rising, and I want to say Virgo moon is what
my
kind of not full chart, but that's a good portion of it. And I feel like I was introduced to Buddhism through breadcrumbs that, you know, eventually manifested in like an overtly Buddhist experience. But I think it started when I was 25 or so, 24, maybe even 23. I'm probably even younger. Yeah, so like 23, maybe. So I was 23. I was in therapy and really just in therapy to get access to hormones.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in this relationship with this man who, you know, I had to be stealth, meaning no one around us knew that I was trans. They just saw an interracial couple.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't think I had any issues to deal with. I just thought, you know, he's the only one who has issues, blah, blah, blah. So my therapist gives me this book called The Voice of Knowledge by Don Miguel Ruiz. He's the guy who also wrote The Four Agreements, which everybody knows The Four Agreements. So, but The Voice of Knowledge first introduced me to this voice in the head, that is kind of not my own until I'm aware of what's going on. It's my parents' expectations. It's the society's expectations. It's all of these things that have been internalized.
Yep.
And so that was the first seed, and that was Toltec. But he began to talk about Buddhism. And then it was like Eckhart Tolle reading The Power of Now and A New Earth and just hearing those drops of Buddhism. And then it came to meditation, and I was went to like some Zen Buddhist temples, and I started doing some of that meditation. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't until 2010 when I was in Los Angeles. I moved to LA. I broke up with my ex. I was living in a weekly motel, the one that they featured in Pretty Woman.
Uh-huh.
And
I love that movie.
As I was looking for a job, mm-hmm. I was looking in Craigslist and I found a roommate. And it happened to be that roommate who was practicing Nietzschean Buddhism. And so he would always offer for me to go chant with them, and I would hear them chanting, but I just wasn't ready. And then finally, when I was done sort of struggling on my own with my issues, because it was one of these things where I was just so embarrassed about where I was in life, that I had spent all this effort and energy into a man who did not feed the same into me, or who was just incapable of loving me the way that I was ready and willing to love him. And I found myself like starting over and, you know, all these things. And I was just depressed and everything. And then finally, you know, I agreed to go to a meeting, and it was as if I was walking in on like the people in Avatar chanting around a tree, you know, like when they're doing that whole thing around Awa. Because I go in this big room and they're all chanting and I can feel it. I could feel it in the parking lot before I actually got into the building. And I knew immediately that I would be dedicated to that practice. Like, it was that day that I knew I would be dedicated. It wasn't until maybe a couple months later that I actually got my own Gohanzen that I chant to in my home. So my Gohanzen birthday, or my Buddhist birthday, I want to say is August 28th. And my birthday is November 28th. So.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that just hit me in my gut in all the places. I am a Capricorn, Sagittarius rising, Sagittarius moon. So
wow.
I knew.
Yes.
I got to talk about Pose, because Candy, who is the character that you play, is one of my favorite characters, like literally one of my favorites. And Candy is a lot of things. Candy is resilient. She's a fighter. And Candy is also deeply, deeply tender underneath all of that rock and grit. And
most tough people are.
That's right. Well, Candy in the show, and people know this because, you know, this was the last season and stuff, but Candy ends up being killed by a John. And I've been in this conversation over the last couple of months, and in this meditation, if you will, that has been guided by my sister Raquel Willis. And she I love Raquel so much. Mm-hmm. She put on social media something to the effect of, you know, we can't just talk about the lives of trans people when they're over or when trans people are murdered. We need to be talking about what it means for trans folks to live well. And so I want to ask you, because you were so deeply embedded in Candy's character, what do you think Candy's life would have been like if Black trans women were invested in?
What a question that is. You know, I think about how much grace we are willing to give let's say Black men. The difference between Kanye West and Chrisette Michelle. Mm-hmm. You know, Chrisette Michelle made one choice to sing at the inauguration of the president and was, if people think that cancel culture doesn't exist, well, in this one particular circumstance, they canceled Chrisette. They canceled her.
That is
she
facts.
Has been canceled. And I don't want facts. Her to be, but she's been canceled. But yet, you know, everyone else sort of gets, you know, this space and this grace. And I remember when the rapper Extension, you know, was gunned down, I believe. And, you know, just folks get so interesting with their narratives with people after they die. And it's very interesting how some people get lifted up and other people get villainized. Mm-hmm. It's one thing how other people, they're young and they had so much life ahead of them, and they could have changed. They had more room to grow and develop, but we don't have that same attitude towards Black trans women. Mm-hmm. And so I think that if the world was just. And, you know, Black trans women were afforded that same level of grace. Candy might have been your next Angelica Ross.
Yep.
Because the truth of the matter is Candy and I both started out in the same place. It's just that I happened to, again, for me, I try to be very careful. I'm always, always super mindful mm-hmm. when I speak about trans anything because I am speaking from my experience, which is a mix of various privileges and, you know, access and marginalization, you know, being a Black trans woman. Mm-hmm. But I have tapped into the understanding that being trans is a spiritual calling. And I just think that we are really missing out on the full experience, both trans people and those who are in our environments. We're missing out on the full experience when we only focus on the physical manifestation and we don't understand what's happening underneath the surface and we don't value and honor the actual growth and change and spiritual sort of like edification that's happening.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I agree. You know, one of the dynamics that is certainly happening with trans folks in this country, and I would imagine around the world, is that trans folks are largely locked out of the formal economy. And this is one of the key barriers that trans folks have to accessing the kind of dignity and the kind of resilience that should be everybody's birthright. You actually started a couple of enterprises to change that. And so I really want you to talk a little bit more about Trans Tech Social Enterprises. Tell me why you created the company and tell me what you've been able to accomplish with it.
Yes, it's interesting because I feel the spirit of Marsha P. Johnson and of Sylvia Rivera, because those are folks who were having some of the most marginalized experience under the LGBTQ rainbow. Mm-hmm. And they were struggling to break their voices to break through, not just mainstream, but through to their own community, through the LGBT community. That's and right. What if we're not careful, if we really have to be mindful about those we are lifting up into leadership, we can't just keep doing this haphazardly where from the Kanyes to the Caitlyn Jenners. You know, we have to be so mindful because those are folks who, you know, even like the Caitlyn Jenners, who doesn't have the intersectional lens. And even when you don't start out with the intersectional lens, at least you should have the awareness that you need to be speaking from an intersectional lens if you're speaking on behalf of a community. And so it has been very important for me when it comes to the conversation around trans tech to consistently pull myself out of this elitist space. Because when I say tech, people are like, oh, you mean coding and computer programming and all that things? But I also mean OnlyFans before there was even an OnlyFans.
That's right. That's right.
And I've been talking about this for so long because trans tech started as a harm reduction strategy. And it's about reducing the harms. It's not about shaming people for what the things that they're doing. It's about helping them reduce the risks and the harms that they experience in their environments. So when we're talking about sex work, if we use technology as a harm reduction strategy, that means I, Angelica Ross, was able to pull myself off of the streets. Mm-hmm. And maybe I put an ad up, and maybe I was doing sex work and put an ad up, and I could screen my clients with the technology. Then maybe it got to a point where I didn't even have to screen them or do that. I didn't have to see nobody. I'm just chatting with you in front of a screen and shaking my little, you know, whatever in front of the screen.
Yes.
But I've reduced the harms
by
not even having anyone need to touch me. That's why I started Trans Tech, was so that each and every trans person could grow with grace at their own pace. Because transition is not a one size fits all. It's something that as trans people, we need to go on the impulse of our own lives when our own lives tell us it's time to change. And that is a reflection that we can give to cis people or people who are not trans, is to listen to that moment when your life is telling you it's time to change.
Mm. You know what? So first of all, that's going to be the episode name, is Grow With Grace. So thank you for that. That I feel like I need to get that tattooed on my forehead. And so does everybody else in this country.
Yes.
I think it's amazing to look at building skills as a resilience strategy. I heard you talking about harm reduction, which I think is brilliant. And it sounds like so much of what your company is able to do is really to invest in people, invest in people's humanity, and also to give options. What I love about what you just said is it's not like, you know, we need to get girls off the streets and into the boardrooms. Like, okay, but how about also, right, providing the tools for people to even be able to have options, to be able to decide for themselves what works, what doesn't work, what they need, and to be able to do that in such a way where you don't have to be without agency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and it's, but you, like you said, it's an investment into the community, but so much so that one thing, you know, I just have to say is that the type of investment that I made into the community was truly one that so many cis-led gay LGBTQ organizations were just not willing to make.
I know that's
it didn't
right.
make sense. It didn't fit their metrics. There, you know, it wasn't a conventional way. I poured my heart into the solution that is Trans Tech. So it's honestly something for me that, like you said, it's not a one size fits all for folks. And it is something for me, even now, it's been hard to find the money for it because people are constantly talking about, well, what's the ROI? And they're really quick, you know, where's my quick return on investment? And I had to be someone who was willing to lose for a lot of years, negative bank account balances, poor credit, because I prioritized the Trans Tech organization over my own stability. Sylvia Rivera, Marsha P. Johnson did sex work in order to, you know, fund the organization. Baby, I did everything shy of sex work.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? To
I
be
do.
Able to fund this and many times had to sell myself to get money for the organization, not for the budget item that was my salary, because, you know, for whatever reason in my head and in anybody else's head, that just seems incorrect, even though I'm doing all of this work. So I'm literally doing this work to put the money elsewhere, to get the money to my sisters. So thankfully, now I've had more people coming along now that my star is rising, more folks are seeing. And we've even had folks like the Black Trans Fund is helping me this year.
I love that.
Yeah, they just raised $10,000 for us to help us give 150 Black and brown, trans and queer folks 1 year unlimited access to the LinkedIn video tutorial library.
Wow.
And so that's something where you can learn any skill. You can learn coding, video editing, 3D modeling, how to negotiate your salary, hard skills, soft skills. I see this as a COVID-19 really initiative because people are being forced to be in their homes. So since we're, you know, being sort of forced to be in these environments, if I can give folks access to learning tools that can kind of up their game, whether or not they're going to work freelance or just preparing them for whatever's next, that's what we're doing. We're investing in the community.
I love this. Oh, I want to work with you. So we're going to talk after this.
Yes, absolutely.
We need to talk about the election.
Baby.
We have to talk about the election. So you have been incredibly involved in politics and you hosted the first The first ever 2020 presidential candidate forum on LGBTQ issues in 2019. I'm not understanding why we got all the way to 2019 and ain't had no damn presidential candidate forum on LGBTQ issues, but I digress. This election season has been a lot, to say the least. So I just need to know, you know, what is your take on this upcoming election? And what do you say to a Black trans woman who says, I'm probably not going to vote this year?
Well, the first thing I would say is, I hear you, girl.
Okay.
Because the first thing I have to do is just affirm people's real feelings.
That's right.
And I think that that's a lot of the issues that we're having right now is people aren't willing. People are sometimes being very dismissive about people's concerns. And it's like, well, hello, these are real concerns. And if you can't be someone who can speak to the people's concerns, then how good of a leader are you actually? So for me, it's been very important for me to have an intersectional perspective when it comes to voting and when it comes to all of the issues. That's why I've had to actually, it's been the wildest time of my life.
Yes.
To get phone calls, child.
I know.
From any and everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about just like a week ago. Michelle Obama. I'm getting text messages from everybody like, Angelica, Michelle Obama's trying to get a hold of you, girl. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing? And I was just like, that's how kind of crazy busy I am, like wildly busy I am. And so I actually had to tell Michelle Obama no. And I never thought of it in a million years that Michelle Obama would call on me and I would say no.
So why'd you say no? Give me the scoop.
I had to because it was just too quick of a turnaround. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I'm working with various folks, depending on how much of a relationship we already have, some folks can work with me in a quick turnaround time because they know already where I'm at and what my talking points are. But if I have to work with a new team or some new people and have to sort of massage what we're talking about at first, that just wasn't enough time for me to kind of state my issues. So my issue is this, is that I can't just be caught on camera telling people to go vote.
Facts.
Without there being some sort of more in-depth critique and conversation about that. Because I live in Georgia where Kemp stole the election and is still the current reigning governor who is suing Keisha Lance Bottoms,
That's
a Black
right.
woman
right.
who is just trying to help us wear masks and stay alive.
Okay.
So these have real implications when we're talking about voter suppression. So what I tell people when they talk about not voting is I have to be very clear on this. Very clear.
Yep.
People want to constantly look with hindsight awareness at history and talk about what they would have done and what they would have and wouldn't have done. When the reality is, as a Buddhist, what I know to be for certain is that every single life is important in its time. Meaning you were born specifically in this time right now. That's why you're alive, to bear witness to everything that is going on right now. What are you going to do with your time? Mm. I hear you about Kemp. I hear you about Trump. I hear you about McConnell. I hear you about all of them. I hear you. But the only God source, power source, universal access that you have access to is through your vessel.
That's right.
So the question of the day of the hour is, what are you doing with your time?
That's right.
Can you be for certain that you've done all you can do? Mm. Like in that gospel song, when you've done all you can.
Yes. Yes.
Do you know you've done all you can? And if you don't, then you really, I want to recognize where people's feelings are. But that's not how you participate in society. Your voice is important. And at the same time, we need to show up in this very moment, well before the polls open, to address things in real time.
Facts.
So when the problem comes up, I'm not going to wait till next week to read you for talking about my mama.
Basically.
I'm going to gather you right now.
You
so we, you know, when all these problems are going down, Trump is sending military force into Portland, Oregon. When all these things are happening, hello, Chicago's next. These cities are next. It's the time's now.
Okay.
The time's now. Like, facts. It's going on right now. Whatever we thought happened before they put people into the concentration camps, hello, it's
That's
happening. It's happening.
That's where we are.
People are coming in unmarked cars and kidnapping. It's happening.
That's right.
It's happening.
Just like that, it is time for our weekly roundup of all the things that Lady just ain't gonna do this week. Thing number one, secret police in Portland. So in the news this week, we learned that in an effort to escalate Trump's war on protesters, the federal government unleashed a secret police force in Portland, Oregon to help quell the protests there. Multiple reports detail white vans pulling up to protesters, and people in fatigues and without badges are putting them in the vans and taking them away. One man who was released from said farce said that he was put in the van, a beanie was pulled over his face, and he was forced to hold his hands up while being driven to an undisclosed location, which he later learned was a federal courthouse. When he arrived, he was read his Miranda rights, but he was never charged. When he asked for a lawyer, he was released. So basically, your president is once again going all the way to the line, and of course, going over it, because that's what he does, to establish the notion that he is enforcing law and order, even though what we know is that he is skirting the law and creating more disorder than order, shredding our democracy and shredding our First Amendment rights. There's something bigger than this, though, which is that the feds may be using the 2011 National Defense Authorization Act, which was signed by President Obama and legalized detaining Americans who are suspected of being terrorists. So there you have it, folks. When I say it matters that the protesters and resistors, like me, are being deemed terrorists, you need to pay attention. My sense is that this will escalate as we get closer and closer to the election. This week, Trump says that he will send federal law enforcement, just like the secret police he sent to Portland, to Oakland, New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, Detroit, and Baltimore. So the question is, what are we going to do about that? Next thing that Lady just ain't going to do this week is keep losing our civil rights heroes. We lost two great ones this week, Congressman John Lewis and Reverend Cordy Tyndall C.T. Vivian. They died this week on the same day. Congressman Lewis, of course, was a longtime champion and fighter for voting rights and civil rights, and he was a longtime ally to our movement. Reverend C.T. Vivian was a freedom rider, a lieutenant of Martin Luther King, and a longtime civil rights leader who launched the Nashville Christian Leadership Conference, which staged sit-ins and marches. His program to support students who were kicked out of school for fighting racism actually became the basis of the Upward Bound program, and he was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. May they both rest in peace, and may we continue their legacies for the time to come. Next thing that Lady just ain't gonna do this week is Kanye Child. And I let's just send some love and some healing to Kanye. And that is all I'm gonna say on that. Finally, here's what Lady just really ain't gonna do this week. And get ready, y'all, because I got something to say about this. What I ain't gonna do this week is people who don't understand how democracy works. Look, this whole thing about if you criticize Joe Biden, you're voting for Trump is a big crock of stanky bullshit. I said it. This is nonsense. I mean, what kind of shit? Okay. This is exactly how we got toupee fiasco. And let me break it down to you, because this kind of logic is very dangerous for our democracy. So let me explain. In 2016, Hillary Clinton was the Democratic nominee. She too did not meet the political moment. Though she was far and away better than Donald Trump, which is not a high bar, she did not do what she needed to do with respect to influencing and engaging Black voters. She had a dope team of Black women who were working for her, but that did not translate into increased Black votes or increased Black voter engagement. Instead, because the campaign made a calculation that Black folks were already with her, they instead decided to focus on engaging the white working class voter who was being swayed by Trump. She went headfirst into that and frankly capitulated too much to a group of people that wasn't actually her base. She chose a vice president who I think was akin to papaya, drab, obscure, don't taste like nothing, and milquetoast. And the result was this. Most Black people who voted, voted for Clinton, but 10% fewer Black women voted for Clinton than could have. In fact, when faced with a candidate who assumed that they had us in the bag, 10% of us just didn't vote who had voted in the previous election cycle. 13% of Black men voted for Trump. Had Clinton been a better candidate, as she was being pushed to do, could we have gotten more Black voters to close the gap? Probably. So the moral of the story is this. Joe Biden is actually repeating the failed same strategy. I've said it on 1,000 shows. I'm going to say it again here, right now, today. There are brilliant Black women on the campaign. But unless that translates into better engagement, better policy positions, and stronger outreach, we can expect to see that same drop-off in votes. Why? Because skepticism about the integrity of government is at an all-time high. How do you change that? Better candidates who can speak to the moment with clarity, humility, and better policies. So every time you say to a Black person who works really hard every single day to register voters, engage voters, and motivate voters, and you tell them that pushing Biden to be better as democracy demands of us is a vote for Trump, just know that you sound ridiculous. Black folks know what we need to do. But we deserve a better candidate, and we deserve to stop being told to wait our turn. Y'all wouldn't even have Joe Biden without Black voters. So now it's time to put in some work for Black people. I've said it before, and I will say it again. Many voters are not choosing between Trump and Biden. They are choosing whether or not it's worth it to vote, period. So that's that on that. Stop emailing me. Y'all sound stupid. Okay. Go ahead and move to what lady is loving this week. I love I May Destroy You. It's literally the best thing on television right now because I'm waiting for Pose, of course. But I May Destroy You is the best thing on television right now. Michaela is killing it with this nuanced show that misses nothing. Do yourself a favor. Go ahead and get with the program. Next thing lady loves this week. We lost Congressman John Lewis, but we have gained an incredible extension of his legacy. State Senator Nikema Williams. She was appointed to the seat yesterday, and she will face an election for the seat in November. Go, sis, go! New books out by my friends is also things that lady loves, especially having written a book. I want to tell you, I'm going to support everybody's book that is coming out from here until whenever, because book writing ain't no joke. We talked about that on another show, but let me tell you about the books I'm loving this week. Big Friendship by Anne Friedman and Aminatou Sow, and The Names of All the Flowers by Melissa Valentine, who is also my friend and my homie who is born and raised right here in Oakland. Both of these books are incredible, powerful reads. They are written by women who know exactly what they're talking about. They're stories of redemption, resilience, and resolution. So trust me, you want these on your quarantine reading list. And finally, things that lady loves this week is a new documentary out about my favorite social justice troupe, the Radical Monarchs. It appeared on PBS, but you can stream it free now for the next 30 days. So get to it. And you may even see yours truly make an appearance. Angelica, I love, love, loved being on the show with you today. Tell the people where they can connect with you on the socials and also how they can get that coin to TransCheck Social Enterprises.
Yes, well, you can always find me at missross.com, missross.com. But I'm also Angelica Ross on all the social media handles. And we are TransTech Social on Twitter and on Instagram. And if you can donate, which we would love for you to donate, you can go to our website, transtechsocial.org, for a one-time donation, or you can find our fiscal sponsor, their website, alliedmedia.org, out of Detroit, Michigan. It's just an amazing...
Detroit.
Yes, amazing organization is doing a great work, and they've been our partner from the beginning. So on their website, you can become a monthly sustainer, or you can send a check to them if it's, you know, just something bigger than what you, you know, can put electronically. I'm not gonna put a cap on your wallet, you know. Yeah. Just give what the Lord encourages you to give. That's all I'm asking.
I heard that. That's it for Lady Don't Take No, but I will be back here every single Friday morning to accompany you where you used to have a commute. We appreciate you joining us, and let's keep the conversation going. Tell us what's on your mind, tell us what you like, and tell us what you just ain't gonna take no more of. On Twitter, we're at Lady Take. On Insta, we're at Lady Don't Take No Pod. And we're also on Facebook at Lady Don't Take No Podcast by Alicia Garza. We post ways to do something about the things you hear on this show all over our socials. So if we got you amped up today, check out the socials to find out how you can take action. Please subscribe, write us a review, and let the people know what you've heard here today. Our producer is Phil Circus. Our incredible theme is by Latyrix. And this pod is supported by the Black Futures Lab. I'm your host, Alicia Garza. Remember, democracy means making candidates better and more accountable. Not just following bad leaders. Voting rights is on the ballot in 2020, so get to it. Secret police being unleashed by your president is definitely a bad thing. And the only way to win in November is to actually play to win, not to play small or take your strongest base for granted. That's right. I said it because Lady Don't Take No.
Lady don't take no shit. Insist on respect the sister. Walk around like a womanish. She won't speak unless it's something worth saying. Don't play. The girl take herself so serious. People stare curious. She got a natural way. Her hips sway furious. Yeah, luxurious. Carries herself.
Love y'all.